All right. We're opening up a new series this month called Trust. And it's really an anagram for take refuge under Scripture's truth. Or you can say, take rest under Scripture's tenacity. The Word of God just won't quit. Or train relentlessly under scriptural therapy. How's that? There's, you know, I could go on. But look, trust is a real thing. It's a real, but it's not just a standalone thing. Trust, I hear people, well, I'm trusting God, you know. No, you're not. You're wishing. You're not trusting God. You didn't place your trust in God. And like a covenant trust, a covenant, you didn't release that to God. So, and I've heard people say this, and say, well, this woman came up to Keith Moore one time and threw her Bible right down on the platform. She said, that doesn't work. And he said, yeah, it does. She says, no, it doesn't. He said, well, yeah, it does. She says, no, it didn't work for me. He said, well, what are you talking about? She said, it says right there that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, that if you call for the elders of the church and they shall anoint you with oil, if any be a sick among you, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So he said, well, she said, it didn't work. It doesn't work. And he says, no, I guess it doesn't. I guess God lied. She said, he can't lie. Do you see how confusing people, they're totally like, he can't lie. He said, you know, I thought that too. I didn't think he could either. So he brought her around and just said, look, let me go through this. What happened? She said, well, the elders of the church came and they prayed and they said, they anointed me with oil. And they prayed and they said, God, if it be your will, heal this woman. And he said, well, there's your reason right there. If. There is no if in healing. There's only one prayer in the Bible, and Jesus prayed that, and it wasn't for healing. It was a prayer of consecration. And he was praying that if he can't make it to that cross, he was praying that God's will would get him there. That's what he was saying. That if I can't get there, if I can't do this, let your will be done and not mine. The will of the flesh is weak. Jesus was all man, but he was all God too. And the thing is, God was working. He always said, the Father who is in me, he does the works. He knew how to rely on the Father for the power that he needed. So he was praying that God's will be done. Whew. Got to understand that there's different kinds of prayer for different needs. That's why it says in Thessalonians, pray with all manner of prayer or all kinds of prayers. There's a prayer of faith. There's a prayer of consecration. There's prayers of thanksgiving when you're just thanking him. There's prayers of, well, what we prayed here in our church when we were back in the it was a prayer of, supplication, where you actually supply your prayer with the word of God. Supplication. And God brought us here. So it's a good thing. But trusting God is a powerful, powerful thing. Let me read a few scriptures here to start off. By the way, I found that one that he who puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. It wasn't Proverbs 30. It was Proverbs 29, verse 25. So I was one chapter off. Forgive me. Psalm 37:3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Psalm 37, verse 3. And this is New King James, by the way. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. And a lot of people say, I'm trusting God, and then they go off and do something that's wrong. As if God's going to override their will. He will not do that. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. This is New King James. The old King James says, verily thou shalt be fed. But what it's really saying is, feed on his faithfulness. How do I trust God? How do I trust him? Look, there. I wrote down some things here. Excuse me, I got lost. We've got anxiety. We live in this world is falling apart. Just in case you don't know, but Jesus told us we shouldn't be surprised. We should be prepared for this because this is what's happening. And it's producing in us anxiety, worry, fear, depression, pressure, regret, stress, frustration, self-criticism, seeking approval from others or anybody for that matter. Fear for the future, unexpected setback. It goes on and on and on, and it's coming after us moment after moment after moment, day after day. It's a hammer. Sometimes hammers are good, sometimes hammers are bad. And the Holy Ghost wants to take a hammer and just say, goodness of God, provisions of God, love of God, acceptance in God. We have lies, deceit, government corruption, bribes and scandals, and runaway media inventing news that doesn't even exist. But they're producing stuff just to create this phony narrative. Jesus said that the deception in the last days will be so thick that even the very elect would be confused. Even if it were possible that the very elect would be deceived. We need to stay on the word. We need to have our act centered on the truth. And then we got a presidential candidate who has no qualifications to be president at all. She couldn't even run her own business. And whenever she talks, it's nothing but a word salad. Well, you know, we have the passage of time. You know, it's the passage of time. And it's the passage of time. It makes no sense. And they're saying, the polls say, and I don't know if they're right or not, because usually they're wrong. I mean, the polls said that Hillary would win, but by a landslide. So now... And they're saying that half of the country, the race is really, really tight. All you got to listen to is five sentences come out of Trump's mouth and say, yeah, man. I heard somebody talking. Rick Perry, who was governor of Texas, was on Huckabee last night. And he said, you know, you worked on the energy. You handled the energy for President Trump. He said, what did you think of working for President Trump? And Rick Perry said, you know, I met with him shortly. He delegated the Department of Energy to me to take care of it. And he doesn't micromanage. He knew I had what it takes because I was raising the stink against Obama. When Obama got off the plane on the tarmac, Rick Perry went right up to him and said, this border is nuts. Your energy thing is nuts. And he confronted him, and Obama just walked by and totally dissed him. The governor of Texas, who has all this energy stuff that he's overseeing down there, that was a big thing in his day. And Obama, man, if anybody had a chance to unite this country on its deepest, it was him. But he trashed it. He divided us more on every single level. But even so, he's only a man. And Rick Perry said this. He said, I have never met a smarter man who could just see the big picture and categorize it and put it in motion. I've never seen a smarter man than Donald J. Trump. He knows what he's doing. And for 4 years, we had prosperity. We had energy independence. And get this, world peace. It didn't take too long after after Biden got in, that Russia said, okay, let's take Ukraine. Let's do this. Trust God. Take refuge under Scripture's truth. You know, Jesus said there'd be deception. There would be false Christs. Get ready for them, man. They're coming. Look at the Olympics. Did you see that satanic portrayal of mocking the Last Supper? Then they reinvented it. The Olympic Committee came out and said, oh, no, that was a celebration of the Greek mythology, Greek gods. Are you kidding me? They put it up here and they put the Last Supper down here. And you're telling me that that was a celebration of that? Lies, deception. He said nations would rise up against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. We're seeing the nations rise up against nations. And I just found out that the Elgin Academy, that was for years, it was a prep school for kids, really producing wonderful kids, you know, in that system anyways. And they were producing successful business people and so forth. They went broke and they sold it. And it's just been sold for an Islamic school. And the closing should be this month. They'll take it. A school of Islam. K through 12. It should be KPAs. So things are getting, that's kingdom against, see, nation against nation is Russia, Ukraine, natural physical nations where they say, okay, we're going to spoil your goods. We're going to come and invade you and take it all. That's nation against, kingdom against kingdom is ideologies like Islam. That's the only one that I know is really warring nowadays against the whole world. They're saying that the whole world needs to bow their knee to Allah. Otherwise, head. It will cut off your head. That's their ultimatum. Israel doesn't do that. Israel was attacked by Hamas, and they're defending themselves. They want to wipe Hamas up because they've been, for years and years and years, The Hamas have been attacking them, Hezbollah, and all these. All fun. And here's what Biden gives, $7 billion to Iran, the fueler of all this stuff. And now he's, look, we live in a crazy, upside down, turbulent, fierce, angry, fearful world. That's what I'm saying. And we're reaching a point in time where our trust in God will be the determining factor of where we stand or fall. Look, I'm not saying that to scare us. I'm saying that this is the reality, and Jesus said this. He said this for a reason. Did he make a covenant that provided safety, soundness, protection, preservation? Yes, he did. But our trust needs to be in his provision, his word. And it didn't take too long for Hezbollah and Hamas and all that to just go against Israel. And their next thing, I mean, we might as well have just built the atom bomb for them. But they're next. We are the big Satan. Israel is the little Satan, according to them. Because they're looking at these kingdoms of the world like they, in a spiritual sense, it's a perverted way of looking at it. Like they don't have any right to exist unless they agree with us. You know what that is? That's pride. You know what the devil's primary nature is? Pride. And we see, what was July? Was Gay Pride Month? I'll tell you where that's coming from. Kingdom against kingdom. And Jesus said, they will deliver you up and be killed, and you will be hated of all nations for my sake. But you know something? The Apostle Paul, bless his heart, about this high. That little guy had a magnanimous spirit. His spirit was bigger than five Goliaths. And he lived under the oppression of the Roman government. And he went in and just said what he said. And wherever he went, there was either going to be a revival or a riot. And he started, he traveled, this is by foot, traveled 10,000 miles establishing over 1,000 churches in all of these little places, speaking the word of God, teaching the word of God. They locked him up in prison. But his trust was in God, him and Silas. Oh, Lord, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. The devil said, we're going to get you in there. We're going to lock you in the inner prison. Inside where it's dark. You have no sight. You can't see. It's damp. It's cold. It's a prison. And it's probably leaky. It's probably moldy. Who knows what's going on in there? But picture yourself. How long am I going to be here? You know, there was a guy named John Strand, I think it is, we saw on Ministry Now, who was thrown into, he didn't do anything wrong, but he was arrested on January 6th, and in order to live up to their narrative that they were producing, that this was an insurrection, nobody was doing anything wrong. And this is many, many witness accounts, too, on both sides, saying nothing was violent until the police attacked the people. The guards. And Antifa started it. They know that there was FBI agents in there. The Christopher Ray said, no, they weren't. See what I'm saying? Look, who do you believe? Yeah. It's deception. Yeah. It's smoke and mirrors. Who do you believe? Who do you trust? Yeah. Well, how do I trust? How do I trust God? Yeah. Turn to me with Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Boy, we're going to get into it today. I mean, look, the world is, it's not good. Just leave it there. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with most of your heart. Well, a better portion anyways. Give me some slack, you know. With all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. How do you do that? Well, you start to replace your own understanding with God's understanding, your knowledge base with his knowledge base. How do you do that? Put the word right here and read it. A good exercise. In fact, I was having lunch with Mike Seeley the other day. And we were talking about these things. And we got into some really good conversations. But we talked about being transformed in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Now, if you couldn't do that, why would God say that? Why would he tell you to do something you couldn't do? That would be unjust. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, we have undervalued ourselves. We have undervalued the work of redemption. We have undervalued the new creation. We've undervalued the indwelling of the Spirit of Christ and the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We have undervalued that. We have majored on preaching sin in the church for centuries. But yet, the Bible calls us the righteousness of God in Christ. What did that blood do? Come on, let's get with this. We got to get on this train, the faith train. Drive in the faith lane. Drive in the power lane. Drive in the trust lane. And by the way, the word trust is faith, the Greek word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis, it's called. The word trust is a form of that, it's pistioso, or pistuo, P-I-S-T-U-O, or whatever, pistuo. It's of the same root. The more faith you have, the more you trust in God. The more trust you have, the more faith you'll have in God. They work that, they just work that way. Ask, look at the examples that we have. Look at Daniel. Look at Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. This is what John Strand was talking about. He was thrown into prison. Then he was, after 4 days in solitary, not knowing what was going on, not being informed of anything, didn't have any knowledge of why he was there. He was just arrested. And then 4 days later, he was taken out and thrown on the street. Then they arrested him again, and he was sentenced to 3 years in jail. He did not one thing wrong. But it was they tried to get him to confess to all of these things. And he said, and he's a Christian, by the way, and he said, I'm having a Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego moment here. You know, a lot of us had that too this last couple of years with the vaccine mandates. Jab or the job, you choose. Mask or out of the store. I got thrown out of so many stores. I got thrown out of stores. I had guys following me down the aisle at Jewel. I said, well, if you're so scared, why are you following me? I went to buy my buddy Phil a gift card at Guitar Center. And he said, sir, do you have a mask? I said, yeah, I got lots of them. He said, well, can you put it on? I said, why? You believe they work, right? And he said, yes. Through his mask, you know. And I said, well, you're wearing one. If you believe they work, why would I be a threat to you? Unless you don't believe they work, then you're a hypocrite. You're asking me to do something you don't even believe in yourself. So, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. When they can't answer something, they try to either lie or make something up, or just rely on, oh, that's the law of the land. Well, no, faith overrides the law of the land. It says submit to those things as long as they don't interfere with your faith in God and what he said. And God, from what I understand, God said, the truth will make you free. See how distorted? We almost lost our control of our freedom and everything under that. And we came that close to it. But Lori and I, she actually was the one who said, these frontline doctors really know what they're talking about. She got me to listen to them. And I said, yeah, that mask can't prevent COVID transmission. But it does block the good bacteria that you need to build up your immune system. And they kept kids locked in those things all day at school. What a miserable, uninformed, mishandled comedy of errors. You know, under that whole thing, there was only one child who died of COVID under that, and it's because he had like six other comorbidities. Very unhealthy child. No other child died because of COVID. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How do you do that? Well, you don't lean to your own understanding. You displace your understanding with God's understanding. This is why he said in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, I pray to the Father of glory that he might grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know the hope of your calling, that you might know the exceeding riches, his exceeding riches of his inheritance, and the exceeding power of his grace, the overwhelming power of his power. It's coming to us all the time. It comes to us in the form of grace. It comes to us in the form of word. It comes to us in the form of a lot of different things. But it's the power of God. But you got to have your eyes flooded with light for that. This is why you can displace your own understanding with God's. That's how you trust in God. We're having some really good stuff today. This is what Webster's dictionary, Webster's 1828, you know, he was a born again believer, this is Webster. He said, here's how he defines trust. Confidence, a reliance, a resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principles of another person. Then he cites a scripture. He who puts his trust in the Lord will be safe. Proverbs 29:25. That's where I got that from. You know, you can trust, these things are just coming. You can trust people to a certain extent, knowing that they're people and that they're fallible and that they are subject to the things, temptation, things like that of this world. You can trust them up to a certain point without putting your trust in them. Do you understand the difference? You can trust them on a limited basis based on their track record of trustworthiness. I mean, you know when a person has kept his word that he's trustworthy. You know when they've kept their promise. I lent some money recently to a guy. Well, it was about a year ago. I lent some money, and I lent this guy money before. And he didn't pay me back at all. I mean, this was years ago, and it was a pretty good sum of money. And so he came to me, and he cried. And I know his wife and his son. And he cried and cried. And he, in my office, he was crying and said, I can close on this house. Otherwise, we're going to be thrown out, the landlord. But we've lived there for years. And he said, I don't know. And I need this much money to close. And finally, I gave in. I said, okay, here it is. But here, this is a loan. See, you got to get this right. Don't loan any more than you can afford to lose, by the way. That's wisdom 101. But I lent it to him. And I said, this is a loan. You're going to pay it back. And on top of that, you're going to pay back the other loan 15 years ago that you never paid me back and you walked off like it didn't exist. And I was hard on him. He still owes me $195 on that one, let alone the other one. Because I've been keeping track. You got to keep records of these things. Because look, if I let him out on this one, I'm not doing him any good. Welching on a deal, welching on something like that, I'm just fueling his downfall for other things. He's opening the door for a lot. If he's faithful in that, then he will close those doors and he can walk out feeling like, hey, I accomplished something. But did I trust in him? No. I trusted him as far as I knew him, and that's all, which was not much. But I didn't put my trust in him. That belongs to God. Putting your trust in someone, it doesn't belong to anybody else on this earth other than God himself. That's his. He earned it, didn't he? Well, I mean, Jesus talked about this too in John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 23 says this, John chapter 2, verse 23 says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit. By the way, this word commit is translated trust two other places I know of. Luke 16, 11 and 1 Timothy 1, 11. It's translated trust. It's the same word. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man because he knew it was in man. Now, we touched on this during the communion thing too, but this gives us a real key into why we can trust Jesus. Because knowing everything that he knew about you, everything he knew about me, and the perverted human life that we all were before we knew God, before we knew the Father and Jesus. He went to that cross anyway. Has he earned your trust? This is understanding what trust is and how to do it. How do I trust God? Well, replace your understanding with his. Replace your knowledge base with his. Replace his truth for what you thought was truth. Usually religion claims to be truth, but it's not. Piety and all these other things. Piety. Yeah, I am pure. You know, get that off the table. You got to get real with Jesus because he gets in your grill. And the light just shows up. He said, oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Or maybe I did and I just chose to go, you know, I'm guilty, guilty, guilty. See, if you're guilty, you can be forgiven. But if you don't admit guilt, how can you be forgiven of something you're not guilty of? Be honest with him. Be open with him. And let his truth just start to reign in your life. We'll get into this a lot bigger next week and the week after and the week after until trust becomes a real center of your life. It'll also become a bullet in the chamber of your armor. Because you'd be safe. Praise God. Father, thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, it will accomplish in us what you sent it to do, that you can re-anchor us and re-fortify us in the foundation of trusting you like it's new every morning, like it's a new day, that you have birthed into us a hope that no one can take away. Time can't chip away at it, can't erase it, because it'll keep on emerging and emerging and emerging. And I pray, Father, for every move we make, to the left or to the right, to whether we go forwards or backwards, Lord, that truth will keep on rising up in our hearts to know that all things are possible with you. And all things are possible to me because I believe in a God with whom nothing is impossible. I thank you, Father, for your truth, which surpasses far beyond anything that my mind can comprehend. So I shut my mind off, and I just believe with my heart that you are the God of my life. You are the Lord of my life, and you have all the answers and solutions I need. And I receive your provision for me in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that? Are you trusting him today? Trust him. My God, he's earned it.